Let's pray. Father God, we sing to you those songs that proclaim you as a very meek, gentle God. And we thank you that we can come and approach you. You're our strong Lord, you're our powerful Father. And so we come acknowledging your gentleness to us. And we praise you, God, for the gentleness you impart to us. You're so good to us. When we cry out to you, God, you listen and you hear. You lift us, God, and you say that we are your children. And Father, for that, we are so grateful and thankful. As we come today and proclaim your word, God, we pray that already you've prepared our hearts to hear from you. We pray, Father, that you would just bless us as your people. We think, Lord, of those needs among us that require, Lord, your attention. And God, we know that you're with each one of those health needs. We know that you're with Doug and Henry and Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie and Megan and Lord, even with Vince and Herman. And we pray, God, that you would be just close to each situation. May they know your presence. God, we pray for their families that you'd give them courage and strength. Father, we think of Mary Warkentine who is unable to attend services. And God, we pray for her. We pray that you would give her your encouragement today. And Lord, we pray for her family too, that they too would be encouraged even through today. Father, we think of the Borsheim family and who are grieving right now. And Father, we pray that as they grieve, they would look to you for your gentleness and your comfort. And Father, we praise you. We praise you for how we have noted even this morning how youth impacted this city for Christ. And Lord, we praise you for that. We praise you that we could host this event. And Lord, we pray that what youth have seen and heard this past week would not diminish from their hearts. We pray, God, that you would continue to give safety for those who are traveling. And God, for those who even are at the lake maybe today, God, we pray that they would see you and worship you just with who they are. So, Father, we come and pray your blessing upon us. And may you impart your word to us today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Oh, boy. That's great. How are you all doing? Great. How many of you are tired? Oh, boy. I see I have my work cut out for me today. That's great. And I was watching that serve video, and you know, you can't help but get kind of emotional seeing the youth walking around and doing things for the Lord, and that was incredible seeing that. Especially, what was it, the tomato and the cucumber at the end? I didn't see them all week. I was trying to picture that. A light rain falling upon the barn roof. You think of gentleness. A cat carrying its young kitten within its mouth. You think of gentleness. 15 kids running through your kitchen screaming, pounding the floor. You think of a vacation in Bermuda. True? This morning we're going to take a deep look at gentleness that helps us conquer ourselves. And if you'll look at that verse, we've been looking at it, Galatians chapter 5. Just Galatians 5, put it up there. It's coming. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I believe that these three, faithful, gentle, self-control, they're listed last. Because they really show maturity when we're able to conquer the flesh and be filled with the Spirit of God within our lives. So let's begin picking this fruit by looking closer at what it means, what gentleness means. Gentleness is, put it up, gentleness is calmness, it's tenderness, it's quietness, it's meekness, it's submissiveness. Gentleness has no room for selfish thinking. You can't think selfishly and be gentle at the same time. 5 years ago, Robert Ringer, not Robert Ranger, okay? Robert Ringer wrote the book Looking Out for Number One. And that whole book is completely opposite to what we're going to talk about this morning. This morning, we're going to examine the principle of having a gentleness about our life. That whole book of Robert Ringer was basically, look out for yourself. Put yourself first. And about 60 months later, he wrote another book entitled Winning Through Intimidation. But when we talk about gentleness, when we talk about meekness, we read that Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. When we talk about this subject, there's a tendency, we just kind of recoil, you know. Or it's kind of like the businessman who was leaving church after hearing the pastor say that the meek shall inherit the earth. And he said to his wife, he said, all I've got to say is if the meek are going to inherit the earth, they better become a lot more aggressive. I heard another quote the other day that said, if the meek will inherit the earth, what will happen to the rest of us? You know. That's the kind of gentleness that we need to talk about. See, when Jesus talked about meek, he talked about gentle. Well, there are two ingredients to becoming biblically a meek or a gentle person. It's up here for you. First, we need to realize that only God's grace can do this for us. Only God's grace. It's not human for us to be gentle or for us to be meek. The evil, sinful nature that dwells within us in the beginning is it grabbing, greedy, climb the ladder and knock the other person off the rung if you can find a kind of mindset. So only the grace of God can help you and me have this wonderful aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Only the grace of God. Secondly, we need to notice that it is a conscious decision. It's a conscious decision when the person who has the power or who has the position, who has the privilege, chooses to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow himself or herself to be God-controlled. Be God-controlled. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones does a tremendous job describing this gentleness and this meekness. This is what he says. He says, the man who is meek is not even sensitive about himself. He is not always watching himself and his own interests. He's not always on the defensive. All that is gone. The man who's truly meek never pities him. He's never sorry for himself. He never talks to himself and says, you're having a hard time. How unkind these people are not to understand you. He never thinks, how wonderful I really am if only other people gave me a chance. Self-pity, he goes on. What hours and years we waste in this. But the man who has become meek has finished with all that. To be meek, in other words, means that you have finished with yourself altogether and you've come to see that you have no rights or deserts at all. The man who's truly meek is the one who's amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. That, it seems to me, is his essential quality. That's great. I don't like it, but it's great. So we need to talk about gentleness. Great fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness requires God-placed items in our life. God-placed them. Gentleness requires God-placed personality. We need God-placed personality, first of all. And I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 12. Look at Numbers 12. It's a great little passage. I love the book of Numbers. You can tell I've kind of been walking through it, and I love this chapter. Numbers chapter 12. Gentleness requires God-placed personality. And if you look at this, let's look at the New Living Translation. Verse 3 says, now Moses was more humble than any other person on earth. What a great verse. Bible says that Moses was a meek man. He was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, I just want to take a moment, and I just want to look at Moses. The Bible says he was meek, or he's gentle. You've got to realize it didn't mean that Moses was perfect. Now, Moses killed an Egyptian. Remember, he grumbled and he complained about the grumbling children of Israel and all the things that he had to do to lead them through. He had difficulties with the Lord concerning even going to Egypt and delivering the children of Israel. He argued with God. And when you look at Moses' life, there are a lot of things that show he was not a perfect person. But the Bible says he was a meek person. He was a gentle person. A gentle person takes the personality God has given them, unique as it is, and places it under the control of God. See, I think of little occurrences in the Bible. Three closest friends to Jesus were Peter, James, and John, and this is a great illustration of how God doesn't give up on us when we're not gentle, when we're not meek, we're not the person that we're supposed to be. And this is a beautiful illustration of how God just keeps loving us. Remember the time Lord sent James and John ahead to Samaria, and they weren't well received there, and really the bottom line is that Jesus and his disciples couldn't stay at the Samaritan Hilton for the night, you know? And they were really upset. And they said, "All right, let's call fire down from heaven." Now that's not a gentle person, okay? Remember the time Jesus and James' mother came to Jesus and said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can Jim sit on one side and Johnny sit on the other?" That's not a gentle request. That's looking out for number one. But God, what blesses my heart, despite these personalities, Jesus never gave up on them. He kept working on them. He kept maturing them. Today, you may not be the gentle person that you want to be. The good news is that through God's grace and maturity and seasoning, you can become that person. That's the good news. Dr. John Maxwell explains this. He said, gentleness is power under God's control. Power under God's control. See, because gentleness is power. That's hard for us to grasp, but it is. And Moses maintained humility in extreme circumstances and pressure. I mean, he gave it all to God. He could face the attacks of grumbling Israelites, the gossip about his marriage. Moses placed his person under God's control. That's what we need. Gentleness requires God-placed personality. But gentleness also requires God-placed outlook. God-placed outlook. You look at Aaron and Miriam, and they weren't showing Moses the respect due him as a called person of God. And they were grumbling. They had a spirit of discontentment under his leadership, which, by the way, is rebellion to God. Their outlook was poor. They required a handoff. They needed to place their outlook under God's control. And when we do this, there's a result. The result is we start working for the benefit of other people, not for ourselves. See, gentle people are understanding. I love what the Living Bible says this. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them, and finally you'll grow to love them deeply. 2 Peter 1:7 says in the Phillips translation, "Learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly. This will make the next step possible, you to enjoy other people." I love people. How many of you love people? Thank you. Just want to see if you're all there. I wave and you all wave. Isn't that something? Even Drew's waving, you know. I love people. I have this deep, growing love for people. That's a fabulous, fabulous verse for people to process a better relationship with other people. I wish I had more time to dissect that verse. Learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly. Wow. This will make the next step possible, which is for you to enjoy other people. Gentle people, they're understanding. Gentle people are not demanding. But gentleness requires God-placed personality, God-placed outlook, and God-placed words. God-placed words. You know, it isn't the things that go in one ear and out the other that cause damage. It's the things that go in one ear, get all mixed up inside there, and come out the mouth. That's what causes the problems. See, that's why we it's important for us. We have to place our very words before God. Ephesians 4 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's a great passage of Scripture. James is a little bit, you know, gets a little bit too carried away. He gets a little clear. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. No man can tame the tongue. But God can tame the tongue. Amen? Woo! It's great. Let us accept that we cannot tame it with our own strength. It must be seasoned by the grace of God. I've got to tell you a story. It's time for a story. Yeah. All right. Wanda's dishwasher quit working. Poor Wanda. So she called a repairman. And since she had to go to work the next day, she told the repairman, I'll leave the key under the mat. You fix the dishwasher. Leave the bill on the counter. I'll mail you a check. Oh, and by the way, just don't worry about my bulldog. He won't bother you. But, word of caution, whatever you do, do not, under any circumstances, talk to my parrot. I repeat, she said to the repairman, do not talk to my parrot. The repairman arrived at Wanda's apartment the following day. He discovered the biggest, meanest-looking bulldog he'd ever seen. But just as she said, I mean, the dog just laid there right beside him, watching as he went about his work, fixing the dishwasher. That dog just laid there. Just watching him. Every move he'd make, he'd watch. The parrot. It was a different story. The parrot drove him nuts the whole time with incessant yelling, screaming, calling him stupid, other names. Now remember the conditions. But the repairman couldn't take it anymore. Couldn't contain himself any longer. And so he yelled. He said at the top of, be quiet, you stupid, ugly bird! And the parrot replied, get him, Spike. That was okay? You got it? Words are so important. They're so critical that we have to give. We, you know, I do this prayer, and I pray this regularly. And God, ordain my lips so that I speak your truth. God, ordain my lips so I speak what you want me to speak. I have to do that. Sometimes I forget it, but it's important. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, the Lord addresses Aaron and Miriam and gives them what I would call a few well-chosen words. He says in these words, he says, listen to my words. This is God talking to Aaron and Miriam. Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, God was trying to say to Miriam and to Aaron, you've got to understand this is the one I have chosen. What are you? Why are you doing this to him? Why are you talking about him? Why are you causing grief for him? See, Moses placed everything before God. Gentleness requires that. Gentleness requires God-placed personality, outlook, words, and expectations. When we're a gentle people, we not only place our personality, outlook, and words under God's control, but even our expectations. See, Ephesians chapter 4 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Let me ask you a question. When someone disappoints you, I don't want your answer, but when someone disappoints you, we've all been disappointed by people. Are you gentle or are you judgmental? It's a good question, isn't it? Are you gentle or are you judgmental? If you look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 13, and I love this part of this passage. Moses cried out, Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." See, what makes this really interesting is this. This was a family controversy. Miriam didn't like her sister-in-law, the lady Moses married. And so God gave Miriam leprosy for what she did. She went against what Moses had to say or do. And that there's all kind of interpretation there. And the moment she was stricken with leprosy, Moses, instead of trying to defend himself, cried out and he asked the Lord to heal her. I think what pleased God was the fact that Moses, who had unbelievable power, had great restraint in using it and had a humbleness of spirit. Even when he was accused, even when he was slandered, even though some under him were not loyal, he had a spirit of gentleness that pleased the heart of God. Now, we've been sailing through this series on harvesting fruit, but I wonder if anyone here today, if there's anybody here today that could say or would say, I've got all the fruit of the Spirit perfected in my life. I've scored 100 every week that we've examined this. The series has been good. I've enjoyed it because I got 100%. I'm a perfect person. The series is, I've really needed it because I needed to be assured that I'm 100% correct. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand to that statement, because if you did, I'm sure that we'd all take turns throwing stones at you. Because none of us are at this point. I know that we sit here today and many of you are thinking, I wish I could just go back and change the way things have happened in my life. I wish I could be more faithful. I wish I could just be gentle. Past is past. Move ahead. Move ahead with the faithfulness and gentleness of Christ. Move ahead and investigate your life, the deep inner crevices of your soul. See, if Christianity is anything, it's not people always being perfect, but it's people who just want to be holy, who desire to do what God wants and then willing to let God's grace cover and forgive every sin that we've ever committed until he washes them white as snow, wipes the slate clean, makes them new people in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's about grace. It's all about grace. We don't have to have all the fruit of the Spirit lined up, and we're not perfect yet, but I want to tell you something. In the areas where I fall a little short, I want God's goodness. I want his grace to cover and forgive me. God wants to do that for you. He wants to pick up your chin and look at you and say, you're still my child. You can even say, I'm not the person I used to be because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I can say that, and I hope you can. A gentleness requires God-placed personality, God-placed outlook, God-placed words, God-placed expectations, and God-placed response. Respond. Gentle people are proactive, they're not reactive. Proactive person is self-controlled. Reactive person is other-controlled. Haven't we said on occasion, I know I have, you make me so mad. You upset me so much. You know, well, I say that inside, you know. It's there somewhere. A gentle person is not controlled by the response of other people. They're God-controlled. You see, I think how we become a proactive person is we seek first to understand, then to be understood. It's kind of like this Dennis cartoon up there. Good old Dennis sitting in the corner, screaming and crying. If you're raising me right, how come I get into so much trouble? Good point, eh? Isn't that a good point? First, we need to seek to understand, then to be understood. See, So many times we do it reversed. We want to be understood before we understand. Seek first to understand before being understood. I trust this morning you have noticed that power is gentleness. And I want you to go back one more slide. Go back that slide. See? Personality, outlook, words, expectations, and response. Power is gentleness. I wanted to end this morning because of my love for you. I care for you. I wanted to end praying for you. And I took the words in Scripture from the Apostle Paul, where he praises God for his people, the people around him and under him, and he thanked God for them when he remembered them in the prayers. I want to do that for you this morning. And while it sounds like we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, and I know it's stuff we wrestle with daily, my prayer for you is you don't get discouraged, that you realize you're a child of God, and that he loves you, even when we blow it sometimes. He loves you. Let me pray for you. How blessed are you, God? And what a blessing you are. You're the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and you take us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before you laid down earth's foundations, you had us in mind. You settled on us as the focus of your love, to be made whole and holy by your love. Long, long ago, you decided to adopt us into your family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure you took in planning this. You wanted us to enter into the celebration of your lavish gift-giving by the hand of your beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. You thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans you took such delight in making. You set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan, in which everything would be brought together and summed up in you. Everything in the deepest heaven. Everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone, gathered even right here. It's in Christ that we, once hearing the truth and believing it, this message of your salvation, found ourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The signet from you, God, is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything you have planned for us, a praise and glorious life. For this reason, Lord, as I see the faith of these your people, and see their love for one another, I give you praise and I thank you as I stand here before them. I ask that you, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us, your people, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. I pray also that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which we've been called, the riches of your glorious inheritance, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength that you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And you, God, placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God, we praise you. We'll extol you. We thank you. Ordain our lips, God, as we're your servants, so that we can speak in gentleness of heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray together. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You've been beautiful to minister to.